Behold, a podcast for the ages. Recorded live from the interdimensional terror vortex of their subterranean dwellings comes the Rough House Podcast version 3.0. Two galactic warriors put down their warhammers and battle axes to perform a more noble task. Complaining about professional wrestling on internet-purchased microphones.
Now with more Simpsons references and Kota Ibushi thirst.
This is the Rough House Podcast with Marty and Christoph.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rough House Podcast, episode number 362, for recording date Sunday, March 17, 2024. Hi, I'm Marty.
I'm Christoph, and I appreciate you, Marty, for many reasons.
Oh?
Just you bring this level of energy at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning that is just, I don't know if you're just excited to talk about pro wrestling, excited to chat with me, or just a professional in terms of hosting a podcast. But I appreciate you, and I appreciate your fervor and your enthusiasm and your level of energy, which is unmatched on this podcast, shall I say.
Well, that's very sweet and kind of you to say, Chris. I think it might have to do with the fact I don't know what time you wake up. I've been up for 4 hours at this point.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hitting my stride. Also, I very much do enjoy sitting down with you every Sunday and talking about the pro graps. It's enjoyable.
I enjoy it as well. I got up at 9, so I'm not quite.
Yeah, you're like an hour into your day.
Yeah, and so. I just had my first sip of coffee as I sat down here, so that's getting there. So and you're caffeine free, which is mind boggling to me. So
yeah, don't know how that works myself. I'll be perfectly honest with you. But hey, folks, this is a pro wrestling podcast, and I'll hit this button.
The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary
force in sports entertainment.
I just want to say, I know we use this clip all the time for the WWE portion of the show. That voiceover guy was like the voice of God in WWE for easily 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. Bring him back. If there's anybody who's a former WWE star, quote unquote, that needs to be brought back, I want that guy back. That
maybe guy's voice maybe is Jim amazing. Johnson? I don't know. Did he storm January 6th? I feel like he might have. and if he hasn't, I apologize to all our Jim Johnson fans out there. I don't know. Like, there have been some, I remember some things in the latter years post WWE of Jim Johnson that maybe raised a question mark or two.
Yeah. Are you sure you weren't thinking of, I believe his name is Jay Johnson, the guy who was in Mr. Show and on Bob's Burgers, who stormed the Capitol on January?
No, he definitely did. Yeah. Okay. Jimmy Pesto stormed. Yes. For sure.
Yeah. I got to say, by the way, they finally replaced his voice actor, and, I didn't even notice the difference.
It's kind of the same with Rick and Morty. And I know that show has its own issues, but the last season, it's barely a difference in voices. Like, you know,
real close.
Yeah. And you know, I watch Rick and Morty while I'm eating dinner. So I'm not super paid attention. I'm more dialed in on my food than I am, you know, interdimensional shenanigans.
But what is getting dialed in, Chris, is the WrestleMania 40 card, which is coming up in just a few weeks.
Segues.
Hey, it's what I do, Chris. It's what I do.
Fantastic.
It's April 6 and 7.
Yes.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Lincoln Financial Field. It's a short drive for us, and we're not going. Well, I believe the Leica lads are going. Rough House adjacent parties at the stadium that weekend.
Yeah, no, I politely declined. You know, I've done two. First one was fun. Second one was just a fucking endurance test of a disaster nightmare.
Yeah.
And then I politely declined the invite for the third one. But Eric, Derek, and Russell are going, so they'll have a wonderful time. They're going night one, unfortunately. So they'll see the tag match.
The tag match. Well, it's interesting because right now we only have one match officially for night one, two matches officially for night two. The rest of the card, which is filling out, is not yet like what night each match is going to be.
Right.
It's not spelled out in that way, but it is looking good. So officially night one, it's going to be the bloodline of The Rock and Roman Reigns against Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. If Rhodes and Rollins win, all members of the bloodline will be barred from ringside during the title match on night two. If Reigns and Rock win, it'll be held under bloodline rules, which I think just means they get to use plunder. So
yeah.
I think Rock and Roman are probably winning on night one.
Yeah.
On the hunch.
It's funny that Seth kind of got, you know, got the short end of the stick in the stipulation too. He's like, well my match is just going to be my match the next night. So
yeah, I'm just going to get kicked in the face.
But
that's
hey,
all I get.
Thanks for letting me be a part of this, Dwayne.
But then night two is Seth Rollins against Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship, the Raw title, and Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. I'd argue it's disputed at this point because there's a whole nother title, but that's another argument for another day. The rest of the card, though, and again,
trying to bring logic into WWE. What's the matter with you?
you know what? That's fair. I mean, even under the watchful eye of Paul, we still have some real confusing bits. I don't know if you saw across the internet this week. yeah, no, that's fair.
It's just my knee-jerk reaction to anything. Did you see anything WWE? And the answer is 99% of the time, no.
So week before last, there was a whole to-do with Maxine, who was part of the whole
Alpha Academy
to do.
Yes.
She had a really crummy match at a house show. So people were posting clips and clowning on her. And there was this whole thing that came up about like, oh, don't bully her. You know, her brother died, all this other stuff.
What does one thing have to do with the other?
I'm sure there's connective tissue I'm not aware of. I'm just not that deep into WWE.
Did it just happen?
Stand-em. No, I don't believe so. I don't believe it's that recent. But I could be wrong.
Oh, please, nobody comment negatively on this because 20 years ago my grandfather died.
Well, okay? it's more recent than 20 years ago because it was a lift situation where he was in the lift. And
if it wasn't within the last month and a half, two months. I don't really know if that can be used as an excuse.
Nevertheless, that was the thing. And it was just sort of kept to its own little pocket on the internet. Yes, it trended on Twitter for a few days, but it's
because
not that
superstars
hard.
Responded to it.
Right. And it's not that hard to trend on Twitter right now. Like, you know, you are basically a man yelling in an open, empty room. Therefore, the sound will just reverberate. Like it's not really a thing. Anyway. They had a spot during a tag match on Monday Night Raw where Candice LeRae started bullying Maxine for being shitty at wrestling. They did the whole Roman Reigns acting moment in the middle of the ring. Maxine has a good like 4 or 5 inches on Candice, by the way.
Right.
So Candice, who's always been like this tiny little bubbly pixie of a woman, is supposed to be playing like the hard ass vet. Talking shit. And I guess the gimmick was they're trying to make Maxine babyface and sympathetic and that sort of thing. But it was just like, talk about a poorly cast role.
Yeah.
You know, a Nia Jax would make more sense for this sort of thing. A Raquel Gonzalez, if they wish to turn her heel again, would make more sense. You know, someone who's kind of a shithead would be the appropriate,
a little more physically imposing perhaps.
Exactly. Not sitting there and just looking up going, you suck. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did this, but it was a thing that happened.
It happened mid-match.
Yes.
Were they fighting each other?
In the tag match. Yes.
Oh, it was a tag match.
Yes.
They were on the same team.
No. It was, I couldn't tell you for the life of me who the other two people were. Because again, I just saw this clip of it. I was like, this is embarrassing. So Paul, you fucked up there. But the rest of the WrestleMania card actually looking good on paper. So Io Sky defending the WWE Women's Championship against Bayley.
Okay.
Should be awesome.
Yeah.
Rhea
Does
Ripley.
Bayley have any friends at this point or everybody's turned on her?
Everybody's turned on her. She is the Sting in the Four Horsemen situation here.
Gotcha. Okay.
Rhea Ripley defending the Women's World Championship against Becky Lynch should be very good. Gunther is defending the Intercontinental Championship against Sami Zayn, which probably the match of the weekend, at least on paper.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, those guys definitely know what they're doing. Strong WrestleMania pedigrees. I mean, Gunther has at least one match that was great last year. Was that his first WrestleMania match?
I believe he had two because I think he had one with Sheamus the year before that we both really liked, and then the year after was that triple threat of the of the Meaty Boys.
Yeah, that's great. The Sami Zayn, I mean, you know, his match with Johnny Knoxville.
The fact that he got what I legitimately called a match of the year out of Johnny Knoxville says everything you need to know.
Greatest plunder match ever.
Hands down. The Judgment Day of Finn Balor and Damian Priest will be defending the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships in a six-pack ladder match.
So 12 people in the ring or on ladders, essentially?
Yes. So five teams and the Judgment Day for the belts.
That seems like a very disastrous clusterfuck waiting to happen.
Yes. It should be absolutely ridiculous.
Over under on sprained ACLs in that match, two? Oh,
at least three. I'm going to go three.
You go taking the over then? Okay.
Yeah. I'm going at least three. So it should be three teams from Raw, two from SmackDown. We'll see how that plays out. Like, they've been doing a lot of emphasis on the tag division. Again, thank you, Paul, even if you have shitty ideas otherwise. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Fine.
Battle of 40-plus old white guys. Okay. Yeah,
the 40-plus plucky young rookies in WWE. Yeah. Did you know that LA Knight is now the spokesperson for Slim Jim?
I did not know that.
I was at Royal Farms yesterday, and some Royal Farms now have video screens, like by the coolers.
Yeah,
and they were airing a Slim Jim ad with LA Knight, and they actually had the old Randy Savage snap into a Slim Jim commercial playing in the background. Like,
okay,
I thought that was a nice touch, but yeah, LA Knight now the spokesperson for Slim Jims.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Send a box of those Slim Jims to the hometown of Hagerstown and just throw them out on a parade float.
I love it. I love it. Hagerstown needs to have a parade. Just for that.
It would be the only thing they have.
True. Jimmy Uso versus Jey Uso, which has no stip.
I don't care about either of these guys. I'm over it.
you're done with Jimmy John Uso and I'm
beyond. Which is the bad one again?
I believe it's Jimmy.
Okay.
I believe Jay is the one who turned face.
I don't care. Sorry.
And then for the U.S. Championship, it's a triple threat, Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. So
that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've both gone on record that Logan Paul punches way above his pay grade in terms of, probably not his pay grade, his experience. Cause I have no doubt he's getting paid a lot.
Yeah. And Kevin Owens is Kevin Owens and Randy Orton's going to hit a crazy RKO. So,
Yeah. And undoubtedly it's going to be on Logan Paul. He's going to do something ridiculous and then eat an RKO.
Although Kevin's no stranger to doing some wild, stunty things at WrestleManias.
He will do something very stupid for sure. I say with love and respect to KO.
Yes. Yeah.
What is also interesting, both nights starting at 7 as opposed to 8. Apparently that is the new starting time for WWE PLEs moving forward, which
I'm for it.
Yeah. I mean, between that and the fact they've been trying to aim for like 2.5 hours versus 3 certainly makes it more watchable. And
even also for WrestleMania.
I mean, WrestleMania will probably be longer, but the rest of the pay-per-views lately have been going 2.5, 3 hours as opposed to 3+.
Remember those crazy years when it was like a pay-per-view every other weekend on the network and they were all like 2 hours, two and a half tops. Yeah,
they were really focused on Raw and SmackDown being different.
Yeah. And it was crisp and fresh and
they were pushing a lot of random guys and gals.
Yeah.
I don't know if Alexa Bliss would have become Alexa Bliss if it wasn't for that period.
That's true. Yeah. I think that's when Naomi won the title as well, perhaps. They were.
Dolph Ziggler and The Miz had a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 years ago, that was roughly.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Anyway, on paper, looking pretty good. But what is not looking good is the very, very weird bit of controversy that happened this week as Booker T on Wednesday took to his podcast and threw something out there. You know, I think he even said for the internet out there. I just realized my Booker is closer to what's his name from ESPN? I can't think of his name.
Chris Berman?
No. The guy with
Scott
all the
Van Pelt.
The guy with all the hot takes. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, that guy. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Why can't remember
Stephen A. Smith?
Yes, Stephen A. Smith.
There it is.
Anyway,
got there.
Booker T got on his podcast and he said that on Tuesday night at NXT, he and CM Punk had a little bit of a situation backstage.
Almost got into it, I think was the turn of phrase.
Yes, almost got into it. So on paper, you start going, oh boy, here we go. An injured Punk decides to start just absolutely fucking around with people backstage.
Right from the playbook. Yeah, its own brand. But
then.
Yeah, go ahead. Continue.
All the sources pop up and all the sources are like, everyone is telling us no such fucking thing happened.
Oh, see, I didn't know that part of it.
Yes.
What a shithead. So he's just trying to just stir shit?
I guess. I mean, look, if you want to have a fight backstage, I think acting like there was a fight backstage and then there actually wasn't is certainly one way to get one.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I took umbrage with the whole thing because he said, you know, I almost got into a CM Punk, but, you know, I know the dirt sheet's going to pick that up. The internet's going to go crazy with it. I'll talk to you about it off air.
Yeah.
I was like, then why the fuck did you bring it up, you idiot?
Yeah, what was even the point?
Now that I know there was no scuffle, then he's just an asshole.
And now we've played into it, of course.
I mean, we knew he was an asshole. I've known he's a woman. I fucking hate
He's an
guy.
Asshole, but I will say for forever and ever, the move of ordering his Outback dinner during a match while providing commentary on and doing it on the app on his phone, like, that's an all-timer moment.
I mean, you know, you don't multitask at work.
I certainly do. I'm just that is such an all timer moment of just zero fucks from old Booker T.
Yeah, I'm not going to give him any props for that. But
what do you think he gets at the Outback? I presume a steak. But do you think he's like, all right, I'll have the steak and the broccoli? Or do you think like dude's housing a Bloomin' Onion by himself?
I mean, I can't speak poorly about people who could house an entire Bloomin' Onion by themselves
because
he judgment. Is me. But of course I know it. He's me. but he's probably I'd say maybe baked potato, maybe add some shrimp to the top of the steak. You know what? Outback for a cheap, sloppy little steak. It'll scratch an itch every now and then.
Yeah, they do a perfectly fine meal.
I'll tell you, the sleeper at Outback is they have this like blue cheese candied pecan salad that you can get as like a premium side for one of your steaks. That's the tits right there, my friend.
And that
delicious.
That right there, folks, is why you listen to the Rough House,
right?
Yeah, we talk about the pro res.
Yeah, man.
But we give you the recommendations for random shit to eat at restaurants. You're welcome. Yeah,
terrible chain restaurants, which we should not be supporting.
Well, something that we're probably questioning our support about at this point is.
I'm about ready to cancel my subscription. I mean, is my 999 yen a month really worth this?
Yeah, I know. So New Japan, we are running through the New Japan Cup right now. Jack Perry was the notable outsider addition as he promptly joined the House of Torture, which based off of booking is the hottest thing in professional wrestling right now, if you ask Gato.
I understand that it gets a reaction from the crowd.
Yes.
But wasn't the business plan of New Japan to try and expand internationally?
It certainly was.
Yeah, because clearly focusing so much on House of Torture and all their terrible shenanigans, predictable shenanigans, it's just that ain't it for international fans. And I honestly don't remember the last time I logged in to my New Japan World account. I'm just throwing them 999 yen. I think I'm going to cancel after we finish this. I'm just going to put my foot down right here. I can't remember the last time I watched a match on there, good or bad. I didn't even go back and watch any of the Osprey or Okada farewells. I think Wrestle Kingdom was probably it. And we're 2 months without me logging in there.
Before you cancel, I do recommend you watch Shingo and Mox from the last US show. I think you'd enjoy that a lot.
Okay. All right.
But it is hard to defend New Japan right now. We are at the semifinals of the New Japan Cup. Winner, of course, going to be getting a shot at the IWGP World Heavyweight title. We have Hirooki Goto and Sonata on one side.
Okay.
And then on the other, Yota Tsuji, which, hey, sure, and a newbie. Let's do the thing. And Evil.
I can't take another Summer of Evil. That's for goddamn sure.
I can't take another Naito and Evil match. Like,
yeah,
we've seen that. We've been there. We've done that. We've had more than enough. But what is particularly heartbreaking for us here at the Roughhouse Podcast is, of course, Evil beat Shingo Takagi on the way to that semifinal.
Insane. Insane.
Yes.
Absolutely mind-boggling booking right there. Man, I know I've said 100 times that AEW doesn't need any more people, especially with their run of signings in the past month.
Yeah.
Shingo, my guy. Grass is greener over here, dude. Come on.
I mean, look, Danielson did some press this week where he said flat out who from New Japan he wants to wrestle.
Yeah.
And he said Hiromu. Fuck yes. He said Naito. Fuck yes. He said Desperado. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
He said Tanahashi. Fuck yes. He said Ishii. No surprise. Fuck yes. And he said fucking Shingo. So let's do the thing.
Yeah. Make it happen. Make it so.
Yeah. Get
my guy out of there.
Deceptively easy to make us here at the Roughhouse happy. Just
book strap it. A rocket to Shingo.
Yeah, that's all it takes. Yeah. That's all you got to do.
It's the Shingo house.
Oh, that reminds me. Did you watch Zack Sabre and Danielson from the New Beginning show?
No.
Okay, that's another one I recommend before you cancel. Didn't do that. So, like, if you just want an afternoon before you cancel everything, those two are the way to go.
That's fair.
But they have to have Tsuji win this.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, he's the new guy.
Yes.
And then there's the inherent story of him being a part of LIJ and then, you know, Naito being the champ and, you know, okay, here you go, kid, prove yourself. I don't think he'd beat Naito to win the title, but winning the New Japan Cup is a big deal.
Yeah, and it would start to cement this new generation as actually coming up and doing things.
Yeah. I mean, Tsuji's the most together out of any of them, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, the charisma is a big part of it.
Yeah. Well, he's also a little more physically imposing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got like a great look.
6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And he has a twin brother, which they've used on occasion to have him run in and do spots. They've done twin magic with Yota Tsuji. I don't know his brother's name off the top of my head, so I'm just going to call him Dave Tsuji. So Yota and Dave, they do the switcheroo.
Koda and Yoda. No, it's Yoda. Y-O-D-A. Yota Tsuji.
Oh, my God.
You will not.
I'm now going to hit this button, and it's going to be weird because it's not what we normally do.
What is that song?
That is the Dynamite theme, the new one.
Oh.
Did they actually air that, or did they do the cold open on Wednesday?
I don't remember. I don't think they did that on Wednesday. I think they went straight to it went right live with Renee doing the voiceover backstage.
Yeah, which I thought was actually really cool. The whole bit with her, you know, talking about the city. They had the big sweeping shot of the city, talking about big business. Yeah. You had the car roll up, and it was a Mercedes.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Because the worst kept secret in professional wrestling was confirmed right at the top of the show as we had the AEW debut of Mercedes Moné. So Mercedes came out. She walked into the center of the ring, got down, sat crisscross applesauce, and said, "A year and a half ago, I left sports entertainment. Today, I join professional wrestling once again." She also gave out ice cream bars. Actually, no, none of that is true. But they did follow the CM Punk first dance segment to a T.
Yeah.
Problem is, Mercedes is nowhere near the promo that CM Punk is.
Well, and don't take this. She's not the star that CM she's Punk not. Is either. I mean,
Punk was gone for 7 years.
Yeah. From Mercedes, professional wrestling as a whole. I mean,
yeah.
Mercedes did New Japan and Stardom, and she was wrestling since leaving WWE.
And she was at All In. Right. So, like, she'd been on TV.
Right, right, right.
So, it's not quite the same. I will say, the Boston crowd, which came out in force, nearly 10,000 people at the show.
It's a good turnout.
You know, good on them for that.
Not a sellout.
No.
No.
Yeah. No. But, you know, the best Dynamite number in some time.
For attendance.
For attendance. Yeah. The rating is a bit concerning, at least in terms of number of people who watch. We'll talk about that in a bit. Or will we? I don't know. Ratings talk is kind of dull. Anyway. The crowd was very into her, and she also has a new theme, which has a CEO chant that the crowd latched onto immediately.
I mean, it's smart to put a, you know, Ospreys is kind of the same way.
Yes.
Of like, okay, motherfuckers, the Pavlov dogs out there.
Yeah.
Let's get this response in there. I didn't love the, what was it? Ninth Symphony or whatever, whichever
it was.
Just because it's currently being used.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, I don't love that part of it. I feel like, you know, of the world of classical music, there might have been something else to pull from. But, you know, a minor pick, picking of a nit. Also, the hair was a bit much. I didn't care for the hair. I was like,
the All Elite CEO graphic in the hair didn't do it for you.
Was the time spent getting all that hair done really worth it? I mean, I don't know.
95% sure it's a wig. 95%.
Okay. I didn't want to assume, but yeah, it was a bit distracting.
So she gets a whole promo about how pro wrestling saved her life. And, you know, the fans have always given her hope and all that stuff. Shout out Eddie Guerrero. Of course, every single person in NXT's dad, Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
And
I thought they were Dusty's kids. Did Dusty and Eddie Guerrero fuck?
Yeah, turns out.
Yeah, that's okay.
Which explains half of the roster right there. But she said, you know, Revolution can be global, which I think is a little nod to the New Japan relationship. And crucially, the president of Stardom was at this show. Had a meeting with Tony Khan. So I guess we're going to see Stardom involved in the next Forbidden Door, which would be pretty cool.
Of course, right as Julia leaves Stardom. That's when this happens.
That's when everyone else pops up,
right? Son of a bitch.
She said, thanks to Tony Khan. She said, welcome your new CEO. And we had a graphic that said Mercedes Moné was All Elite. And that was pretty much the biggest moment for her. She did show up at the end of the show. Laid out Sky Blue. But if there was like a definitive like statement of, you know, I think it was very clear with Punk, he was going to be going against, you know, new talent or people that like he name drop people.
Yeah.
Not so much with Mercedes. Mm-hmm. Granted, I know some of there aren't that many people who she could name that would actually get the crowd inspired, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
But
who's she going to shout out? Thunder Rosa?
Yeah, I know, right? Deonna Purrazzo, let's do the thing. I don't think this had the level of impact, but they are going very, very hard on Mercedes as the face of the company because they go right to commercial right after this, and there was a new ad for AEW Dynamite, which features her super prominently. Like did some of that, you know, B-roll footage of, you know, shot with a fancy camera and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was featured very prominently in that. So
smart. I mean, she's a recognizable face in pro wrestling. I mean, you know, she was a big part of WWE for at least 5 years strong.
Yeah, true.
You know, I don't think that would include the NXT, but you know, there was only a certain portion of people who watched NXT religiously back then. The black and gold era, man.
Yeah.
The Halcyon days. Shit was Shit was so good back then. Yeah, I mean, I think it's smart to put a lot of, you know, eggs in the basket of Mercedes. I'm just curious to see how it's looking a month or two down the road.
Right, right. What does this look like a few months in? What does this look like when she has to lose yeah. to someone prominent?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was understandable at the time. And I think we even said as much. But let us not forget, she left WWE because she was unhappy with her arc as a wrestler, with her current storylines and all that fun stuff. What happens when, not if, but when she starts getting trickled down the card because it's time for someone else to come up?
Right.
What does that look like? I don't think it's a bad signing at all. Apparently she has the highest contract ever for a woman in wrestling who did not have a pre-existing level of celebrity. Ronda Rousey still has that.
Sure.
But you know, this officially kind of like raises the stock of every woman who may be prominent in professional wrestling. So that's a good thing, I think. Just we'll have to see how it plays out long term.
Hopefully she doesn't bring in Gina Carano.
Yeah. hopefully no Gina Carano. Well, she's going to be very busy with a lawsuit.
With Elon Musk's money. Yeah. Good. Find another way to waste that dummy's money.
Renee Paquette was backstage with Joey Samoa, talking about, his match with Wardlow. He said, you know, debts need to be paid. Wardlow's overdue. And, said that this was the biggest mistake of Wardlow's career, doing this match. Then we had a video package with Adam Cole doing literally
story time
with Adam Cole, as he did a almost fairy tale esque explanation of Wardlow.
Yeah. You got America's favorite young fart reading a book in front of a fireplace.
Yes.
Shout out all my Scrooge fans out there.
And then we had Samoa Joe against Wardlow for the AEW world title. For what I think was supposed to be a make or break performance for Wardlow, I feel like he landed more on break than make. There was something very missing from this match.
I feel like the first match they had was better.
Yes. Agreed.
Although I did love him kind of cracking the code of Joe's walk away off the top rope move.
Yes.
That was clever.
Yeah.
You know, they tried to, I guess, he tried to like feign injury on the knee that got twisted a couple weeks ago and then hit the move. But you know, yeah, it didn't, something didn't click fully. I mean, you know, Joe's great and Joe's Joe. Joe did his job. But yeah, definitely the right call I don't think anybody expected Wardlow to win here. But I feel like, Wardlow would probably be better off in WWE.
It's hard to argue against that. He definitely seems to fit that mold a bit more closely.
Because he's not a great promo. And that's, I mean,
it's not everything, but it's an important thing.
It's just, if you want us to get invested in the character, the only time the Wardlow character worked when he was on his collision course with MJF.
Yeah.
Because the story was kind of already there. All he had to do was go out, punch people and powerbomb goons and, you know, say a line or two with some anger in his voice. And that's, you know, not that hard to do when your adrenaline's pumping. Right. That was the most effective that guy has ever been.
Yeah. And yes, he did have a good promo. I will give credit. He did have a good promo. I think it was 2 weeks ago. They had the Wardlow kill time promo.
Yeah.
But not a lot of there. And
yeah,
they've been trying to make this work for now five years.
Yeah.
And I wonder at what point you cut bait. So
whenever that contract's up.
Anyway, Joey Samoa chokes him out, gets the win, and this brings out Swerve Strickland, who is just surrounded by the security geeks. He murders a bunch of them, has a chain. Joe bails from the ring. Joe's smiling because he knows he got under skin of Swerve Strickland. And if I recall correctly, Joe booted one of the security guys off the ramp.
Sure did.
Kudos to that guy who's just taking a bump off the ramp for next to no reason.
I mean, you know, it's another feather in Joe's cap. Yes. I can't wait for the title story 7 years from now when that security guard is fighting Samoa Joe for a championship.
I'm for it. Then we went to a video from earlier today is Alex Marvez trying to get a word with Okada and the Young Bucks. He wanted to know why Okada joined the Elite. Nicholas Jackson then gave him crap for not calling Okada by his real legal name, the Rainmaker Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if that's what it says on his passport, you have to say that.
Absolutely.
Those are just rules.
Matt then says they're the three best athletes in the world.
Three best friends that anyone could have.
Well, yes, because they're a friendship that's gone on for 14 years. And he said he bets Okada can give 14 million other reasons why they're such good friends. Wink, wink. And then Okada cut a promo in English and sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
He said that he's coming for Pac, Penta, and Kingston tonight, and then forces Marvez to tell Matt Jackson happy birthday. He says happy birthday, and Okada goes, no, sing it.
Yeah.
And makes Marvez sing it.
Smartly, the camera cuts away after the first happy birthday to you.
I think you're allowed to sing the whole song now. I think that got figured out, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, is that there was a, I thought that was public domain.
Well, there was an issue where there was someone who actually had the copyright for it.
Oh,
who popped up. And I want to say there was like the late 90s, early aughts. There was like a period of time where you couldn't do it. And that became a running gag on different shows and all that you can't use the happy birthday song.
Interesting.
Anyway, we got then Okada and the Bucks against the aforementioned Pac, Penta, and Kingston.
Hell yeah, brother.
This is everything we want. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say this was a match of the year match, but it was a great fucking time.
A lot of fun. Everybody got their shit in. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, it was mirrors, more or less, of, you know, like Penta and I think Nicholas was wearing red.
Matthew
was in black and Pac was in black, and you know, Eddie, not quite the mirror of Okada, but they're feuding right
Eddie's
now.
Eddie's Eddie, so. And he's going to Eddie.
right. Visually, it looked great. Okada just has really taken to being a shithead here, and I'm absolutely loving it. Yeah. And it was good. Honestly, this was probably the first Penta Dynamite appearance in 4 months.
Yeah, it's been some time.
Yeah,
that's so for
I'm
sure.
Here for it.
Pac looked great.
Yeah,
he looked fantastic. I will say he looks smaller, but not in a bad way. Like physically, he seems to be, as they would say, training for speed. He's still jacked. Like he's ripped, but he's just not as wide as he had become, which is probably not a terrible thing. I don't know what caused him to be out. I don't know what the injury was.
Yeah, but I don't think it was ever disclosed.
But I'm happy he's back, and he looked fantastic here. Penta did his version of a Canadian Destroyer, which might be my favorite version, where it just looked like almost a locomotion type move.
Yeah,
I'm gonna paraphrase it incorrectly, but Chuck Taylor tweeted during this match, I may never love my own child as much as luchadors love doing Canadian Destroyers. But of course, the new Elite had to win.
Sure.
And they won here as Okada hits a Rainmaker on Eddie Kingston.
I'm surprised Kingston took the pin here, actually.
And Okada stands over him with the Continental Crown, yelling in Japanese, which got translated by Twitter, basically saying, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for the title.
Okay.
We had a video package putting over the Christian Cage, Adam Copeland feud.
It's Christian Cage to you, sir.
Christ Ian Cage.
Yes.
Christ Ian? Christ Ian.
Why'd you get Kevin Kelly fired? Thank you. Those edible arrangements in the mail.
Yes. Yeah. I quit match next week in Toronto. Then
what do you think would happen if we sent an edible arrangement to whatever next Collision or ROH taping that Ian Riccaboni's at? We sent it to the arena from the Rough House podcast with a note saying, thanks for getting Kevin Kelly fired.
I mean, do you not know about the infamous kind of cringy squared circle Reddit thing?
I don't know.
So Squared Circle, for those who aren't subreddit about wrestling.
Yeah.
After one of the NXT shows, they literally sent an edible arrangement to Triple H, and Triple H posted about it on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn it. I thought I was coming up with something new here. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Well, everything would have a specific reason, you know?
That's true.
And you know, hey, maybe I can find that out for us. But Will Ospreay comes out to cut a promo on Bryan Danielson, and good Lord, man, like, it's not enough that Will Ospreay is maybe the best wrestler in the world right now.
Yeah.
It's not enough that he has become such an incredible generational talent in the ring, going from, you know, a scrawny flippy-do guy to a literal heavyweight in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He was a hot free agent. He's making a ton of money now in AEW, and he learned how to promo in the span of a few weeks, apparently, as he cut with Tony Schiavone there, the most impassioned, most excited, most I'm going to take this company on my back and carry us to unforeseen heights promo I've ever seen.
It just goes to show what getting away from the house of torture can do for somebody. It's amazing. Okada living his best life.
Yeah.
Fucking Ospreay is cutting, you know, 5-star promos to go along with his 40-plus 5-star matches. You know, it's the house of truth is drowning professional wrestling.
They truly are. I said this elsewhere, but I'm going to repeat the joke here. I do love that Ospreay and Okada had their big farewell match against each other in the US and then went to AEW. So they've done the wrestling equivalent of saying goodbye and then walking the same direction to your car.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe we'll see that match in AEW sooner. I'm sure at some point it'll
happen, but you know, I don't think it's necessary to happen immediately.
No. I mean, we've talked enough times about the number of main event combinations they now have.
So here's a question for you.
Sure.
Which of those two wins the AEW championship first?
Okada or Ospreay?
Yeah.
I think Ospreay.
Yeah. Same. All in.
Because, I mean, all in would make a lot of sense. The thing that would be a bummer about that is we would then have probably a shortened Swerve reign, because I feel like Swerve's going to be that dude come the Dynasty pay-per-view.
Okay. All right.
But I thought this was fantastic.
Yeah.
I was just like, holy shit, I don't know where this came from, but I want this Will Ospreay on my television all the time. And he's getting over big too. Like the poppy guy came out.
Crowd is into it. I'm just waiting. And you know, it's been a week. AEW salespeople and yet to see a Nando's endorsement yet. So
let's make it happen.
What it's right there. Okay.
Yeah. Deonna Purrazzo's backstage, and I honestly started to fall asleep as she cut a promo. I did find out a fun fact. Apparently she was wearing the shirt she was wearing during the promo backwards. So just kind of a weird fun thing. Fun fact like about
the
that.
Tag under her neck or something. There's people
it's just something I read about. Long story short, it's you're not over online. With Tony. It's yes, I'm extremely online. Hey, it actually benefits me in my new job. So.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Not done with Tony. Not done with Mariah. Hey, we're going to have
a tag match. I'm done with this. Can we put ourselves in the other category? Just check mark. Yeah. Rough House done with this.
Then we had Jay White versus Darby Allin.
Oh boy, this match.
This was ridiculous in all the best of ways.
I mean, this is Jay White. This is what we've been missing.
Yes.
From this guy. And you know, I we've had fun with the Bang Bang Gang and the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, and you know, Jay White showed that he could be funny as well as a motherfucker. But motherfucker Jay White is so much better.
1000%. Just the way he fucked with Darby throughout this entire match.
Yeah.
Up to including the final big spot of the match where Jay was on the apron Darby goes to do a coffin drop, and apparently he was supposed to actually do the coffin drop onto the apron, which sounds bad enough, but instead he catches the side of the apron and basically bounces up then onto the mat. I don't think that it's where this particular injury happened, but he did break his foot in this match.
It was supposedly on the plancha at the top rope to the outside going into the first commercial break is what I heard.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because he kind of over-rotated and landed kind of on his feet.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, so allegedly that's where it happened. And he wrestled the rest of the match with a broken foot.
Not a smart man.
Of his other injuries a week before he's supposed to go climb Everest. So we'll see you next year, Mount Everest.
Yeah.
Jay White might have saved Darby Alley's life.
Yes.
Giving him another year of life.
Yes. Very true. I thought this was exactly what Jay White needed.
Absolutely.
A big time impressive win. It wasn't a squash. There weren't shenanigans. It was a win against one of AEW's top guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then the angle afterwards was even better.
Yeah. So after the match, the Guns come to the ring. They're celebrating with Jay. Jay goes to give Darby Allin a handshake, but it turns into a finger gun. Guns attack. They wrap a chair around Darby's ankle. They're going to Pillmanize him with a baseball bat. Out come the Acclaimed and Father Butt to make the save. This then led to Jay trying to be like, hey, why don't you join in? But the Acclaimed helps out Darby Allin because, you know, they're both faces. Therefore, they're friendly with each other.
Yeah.
Billy Gunn gets in Jay's face and is just yelling. I'm like, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Blah, 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 blah. And he decides to eat a chair on the forehead as Jay lays waste to him. For a moment, I thought it was going to be one of those moments that happened a few times in the Attitude Era where someone gets hit so hard with a chair, they do the Crimson Mask, but not intentionally.
Yeah.
Like it just pops their head open.
Hard way.
Yeah. So I guess we are finally getting to the fireworks factory of Bang Bang Gang against Acclaimed, hopefully combining the trio's titles.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this thing was not meant for this world for long. The Bang Bang Scissor Gang. If anybody bought that t-shirt for $30, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You should have known. I'm not sorry. You're a dummy if you bought that shirt.
I believe that it's been a regular bestseller on Shop AEW. God. So a lot of people have some regrets right now.
Such regrets. Here's a question for you.
Here's a question.
If you were, this is a big brain hypothetical right here.
Okay. I'm all ears.
If there is an afterlife.
This is going directions I didn't expect. We're coming out of an Acclaimed and Father Butt segment discussion, and you're like, so allow us to ponder death.
There's a tie-in. So
I fucking hope so.
Just my existential dread creeping into the roughhouse this morning. Imagine there's an afterlife, and in this afterlife, you can view what's happening in the lives of the living.
Okay.
And in this afterlife, your name is Brian Pillman. And the thing you're remembered for is having your ankle shattered by a chair. How does that make you feel?
Less mad than I do when I watch my son wrestle every single week on NXT.
God damn it. I wish the show was over. Oh, that is the out of the year.
Yeah.
You should keep track of those. Fucking hell, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Very mad about that. Also, again, we talked about it last week, but Jay Briscoe just furious at the Kingdom being called the greatest Ring of Honor tag champions of all time.
Yeah.
And that's even with my positive outlook on the Kingdom right now. We then had
positive outlook on the Kingdom.
Well,
because of one match, Mike Matt Taven killed himself. Because of one match where Matt Taven
landed on his forehead.
Look,
I'm giving him a few weeks. He needs to land on his forehead again, and then we can continue with enjoyment. Otherwise, I'm back on hating him.
Send him one chocolate-covered strawberry.
For landing on your forehead, XOXO, the Roughhouse Podcast. Yes.
This is going to be our gimmick now. We're just going to send chocolate-covered fruits to wrestlers and people in the wrestling business who do good things for us.
So it was Hook and one Chris Sherry Jericho. Berry.
Hey, yeah. Sherry, do you do singles? Can we
yeah, assume, yeah. Can we have a coupon code to be able to buy a single? So dumb.
Do you do pineapple too? Sorry, good.
Hook and Jericho, who apparently are calling themselves Lion Hook because they want me to punch a wall.
I hate it so much. So much.
They had a match with the Gates of Agony of Toa Leona and Bishop Khan. Gates of Agony are very, very good. Hook is a star on the rise. Fucking Jericho is just losing the crowd at this point, man.
I mean, I think he's already lost. He lost the crowd at the Kylie Rae weekend.
Yeah, but like,
and I don't think he's ever really recovered.
He was in the 930 spot, which, like, that's not a great sign.
No.
Even considering what the main event was, which was a choice, as we'll talk about. Lion Hook wins, and that's that. Renee Paquette backstage with Kyle O'Reilly, a general promo about, you know, how he's going to have his first match on Saturday since returning, him versus Brian Keith. And Roddy Strong pops up and said, you know, if you want to do things on your own, you know, I respect that. And then Kyle comes to realization this is the first time he's actually been on his own in AEW.
Yes.
You know,
or in any major organization.
Yeah. He popped up, you know, as a tag partner to the 175-year-old Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
And then was part of the whole, what did they call it? Undisputed Elite. Was that what they were calling themselves? I don't remember.
I don't think it was official, but that's what we were calling it at least.
Anyway, we had a video package for Willow Nightingale versus Riho, putting over both, including New Japan footage of Willow beating Mercedes Moné.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have like the basically coming up next on Raw shot of Riho stretching backstage as Mercedes Moné comes up and tells her she's excited about the match.
Yeah, that did have a very WWE feel, didn't it?
Very much so. Renee Paquette comes backstage with Lion Hook, basically putting over the match. And Jericho says, you know what? I think you have a world title written all over you, but I need to know more. So I need to know what it's like standing in the ring.
He's had matches.
Yeah. Yeah. He nearly beat Samoa Joe. Like, what do you need to know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the main event was Willow Nightingale versus Riho. So this basically got hurt by what the women's division has been in AEW. I thought the match ruled. Mm-hmm. Like, I always love little guy, big guy matches.
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever seen a bad Riho match.
Yeah, Riho's always great. This was the perfect opponent for Willow because she got to look like a beast.
Yeah.
Willow ends up winning. I thought it was very good, but the crowd definitely was just kind of waiting for Mercedes to pop back up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a bit of a bummer there. At the end of the match, Julia Hart pops up as the lights go out. Sky Blue runs in, does a chop block on Willow. They beat down Willow. Mercedes runs out, levels Blue with Sky, levels Sky Blue with a forearm.
Mm-hmm.
What happened there? And then a face off between Julia and Mercedes. Are they putting her in the TNT title contention first?
I mean, Tony Storm is still stuck in this thing with what's her face, Deanna. So
yeah,
maybe hold off on that. I don't know. It's not that Julie Hart's lighting the world on fire at the moment, but
I think she's okay. But I know what you mean. Anyway, Friday was
still pissed at her.
Rampage. That was a pre-taped show. We had Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy defeat Evil Uno and John Silver. This was pretty much a comedy match at times.
Did the House of Torture get involved in this too?
They were not. My understanding is they were held at the gate because they didn't have tickets.
I see. Okay.
Which, you know, you can just hop on StubHub and get them for just pennies on the dollar.
So there's no relation between Evil and Evil Uno? They're not cousins or anything?
Not yet.
Get Gato away from the book, Tony.
We had a vignette of the Righteous, Vincent and Dutch.
Ugh, those guys are still employed?
Oh, wait till I talk about what happened on Collision.
Jesus Christ.
There was a whole nother segment about the whole Soraya, Zack Knight, Angelo Parker, Ruby Riott thing, which now has invaded the Collision Zone, as we'll find out. Mariah May and Toni Storm defeated two jobbers. We got the brackets for the AEW World Tag Team Title Tournament, which we'll talk about in just a moment. Konosuke Takeshita defeated Commander, which is apparently the match you need to watch.
Okay, I won't, but okay.
And then the main event was Roddy Strong, Mike Bennett, Matt Taven against Top Flight in Action Andretti. Unsurprisingly, the Undisputed Kingdom wins.
Okay.
So, the AEW World Tag Team Title Tournament. It is a tournament of eight.
Okay.
And there are two wild card spots. The wild card spots are being decided in individual matches. So,
Random put together team?
Roundabout. So, best friends of OC and Trent are going against the Don Callis family of Kyle Fletcher and Powerhouse Hobbs. That is one wild card match. The other one, which happened on Saturday, was between the House of Black duo of Buddy and Brody and the Infantry of Ring of Honor.
Infantry.
I don't know why I can't say that word.
Are they infiltrating or are they the infantry?
They're infiltrating. They are the infantry. Yes.
Oh.
Infantry. Okay. They're soldiers.
Well, that's infantry.
Okay, infantry.
Infiltrating.
I understand now.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not smart. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you.
I'm not familiar with these guys, so I'm just curious as to what their actual name is. That's all.
So we've got on one side of the bracket, it's the Young Bucks versus Private Party in the first round.
Okay.
Of course, the Bucks lost to Private Party in the original AEW Tag Team Title Tournament. Then we've got the Undisputed Kingdom duo of Mike Bennett and Matt Taven. They are going against the winners of Best Friends and the Don Callis family.
Okay.
Then on the other side of the bracket, we've got Ricky Starks and Big Bill against Top Flight. And then FTR against the winner of the other wild card match, which happened on Saturday, that being House of Black and the Infantry.
Gee, I wonder who won that one.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about what happened on. As Collision was a stacked card from Ottawa, Canada, as it kicks off with a match that got announced the day of the show. Bryan Danielson versus Katsuyori Shibata.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Insane. If you know this match is going to happen, Tony, please tell us in a greater advance than the afternoon before.
Yeah.
Apparently very, very good.
I saw a striking exchange from it, and it was everything I wanted. So
Danielson's chest was purple by the end of the match.
And I'm sure he was loving every second of it.
Absolutely. And he did, of course, win.
Sure.
We got a recap of Mercedes' debut at Big Business. And clips of the main event segment, which would come into play in just a little bit. We had the open house match, Julia Hart defending the TBS title against Trish Adora. Trish Adora is the third for the Infantry. So the idea was loser gets banned from ringside.
I think it would be funny if in one of these open house matches, the match doesn't happen because the referee can't get the key out of the little lock thing on the door to get into the house.
Which legitimately is always a pain for me. You've described one of my nightmares where I'm just like, I can't get the key out. I can't get it out. You will be not surprised to learn that Julia Hart won. And then it was announced that on Rampage, which will be airing live right after Dynamite this week. So basically we're getting a 3-hour Dynamite. Okay. It's going to be Julia Hart and Sky Blue against Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale in a street fight.
Okay. I mean, these women's street fights usually do go all out.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think the moment it got announced as a street fight, everyone went, oh, so this is going to be absolutely ridiculous and everyone's going to be bleeding. So yeah,
hopefully Julia Hart doesn't die.
Yeah. So look forward to that on
Wednesday. Last time she did a table spot, she almost suicided herself.
Yeah. unalived, as the kids say these days, to get away, get around the algorithms. Mm-hmm. Zach Knight, that's Soraya's brother.
Who cares?
Backstage with Lexi Nair, asked about the challenge that Angelo Parker issued for the evening. It was even announced that that match was going to be on Collision on Saturday. And Zach said, no, I'm not going to have the match because we're in Canada and I don't want to give him the hometown advantage. So that match did not happen. Dana Garcia and Lee Moriarty had a match. Apparently a lot of fun. Garcia ends up winning. We got a recap of the Darby Allin Jay White angle from Wednesday. Talked about Darby's broken foot and how it cost him his climb of Mount Everest and a couple of months in ring.
You think do you have to like? Did he lose a deposit for not being able to climb Everest?
That's a good question. I'd imagine there's a level of insurance you have to get for this.
It's like, does the Sherpa that takes him up there have Venmo that could just send the deposit back to him? Does he have to fill out a form with a doctor's note? Does he have to include the X-ray in there? Does Farmers Insurance get involved? Does J.K. Simmons have to get involved in this? I mean,
they are farmers. Bum, ba, dum, bum, 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 bum.
A lot of questions left unanswered.
So Pac was supposed to go against Commander on this episode of Collision, but Commander got hurt.
Takeshita murked him.
Yeah. And you'll be very happy to find out that he went against Aaron Solo. Pac destroyed him. Employed? Yes, he is still employed.
Why? He's QT, nothing.
He's QT Marshalled up. And QT. Oh, that reminds me. We never talked about this. Did you see the quote from QT Marshall about going back to AEW?
No.
Again, I'm paraphrasing it, so it may not be right. But he said, you know, I left AEW because I wanted to see what I could do out there. I had a conversation with Triple H. And then after a few minutes, we were done.
Sure.
Well, I could absolutely see that from the perspective of like, Paul's on the phone like, I gotta go.
Yeah, I don't think so, brother. Lenny's ghost is on the other line.
Yeah. I just slipped in some prime energy drink. Gotta go. Bye.
Yeah.
Even his ways of getting off the phone have to include a prime energy plug. Anyway, Pac wins, and he cuts a promo saying that he was back for trouble, and Aaron Solo was not trouble.
No shit.
So he said, Tony Khan, find me some trouble before I find some myself. So,
okay. All right. And Taylor Swift comes out singing, I knew you were trouble when you walked in. The
Collision ratings were huge this week. Yeah. 20 million people.
Look, Taylor Swift made her TNA debut like 11 years ago in a photo from Jeff Jarrett. That is one of the weirdest tie-ins.
It is weird. Apparently he and his daughter are of a similar age. Similar age. Maybe even went to school together.
But didn't she like babysit? Wasn't there a babysitting angle? There was something like that.
He actually, Jeff Jarrett told a story recently when Jeff's wife passed that Taylor took his two daughters out and, you know, took him on a shopping spree and got him ice cream and all this stuff. And it's like, all right, Taylor Swift is a good human.
I mean, I don't really think there's been evidence to the contrary.
It underlines it further.
Unless you're an NFL conspiracy theorist.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation for another time. Bryan Danielson was meditating and then cut a promo about how grateful he was to be able to wrestle Shibata. And he said, you know, we were both medically unable to compete at one point. We both had to retire. And he said, you know, Will Ospreay, you talked about how you're not planning to die at Dynasty, but Danielson said, hey, I've been on death's door because of pro wrestling. Are you willing to do that?
Okay.
So, yeah, thought that was a nice touch. I caught that promo on Twitter last night. Claudio Castagnoli and Lance Archer had a match.
Okay.
Got the beef chance. It did end in a no contest, a very rare run-in DQ the Righteous, who were set up the night before, pop up. Wait for it. It gets weirder. Bryan Danielson comes out for the save, as does Shibata, as it looks like we are building to Claudio Shibata and Danielson against Lance Archer and the Righteous.
Is John Moxley on the shelf right now?
I'm wondering that, because he's
Wheeler Yuta.
I know Wheeler is hurt. I know that. And it was very weird that Claudio and Mox are not in this tag title tournament because they just beat FTR.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Mox is actually hurt and no one said anything. Or maybe he's finally taking that vacation he's been talking about since 2021 or 2022, rather.
Yeah, they have enough bodies. They don't need him at the top of the card right now.
Angelo Parker and Ruby Soho were backstage with Lexi.
Don't care.
Talking about Zack Knight's hole to do.
Oh, God.
Parker was upset that he wouldn't get his match since his mom's in the crowd because they're in Canada. So he said, I'm going to go find him and we're going to have a fight. And then Ruby Soho says, you're just playing into their hand. You shouldn't do it. And they chose not to. Why did we have this segment at all?
Great. Thanks.
Kyle O'Reilly beat Brian Keith. Apparently very, very good. Okay. Kyle apparently looking very much normal in the ring, which is nice to hear. Roddy Strong and the Kingdom come out to celebrate, and they raise Kyle O'Reilly on their shoulders.
Okay.
So going it alone is going great.
Yeah, right.
So Deonna Purrazzo backstage with Lexi Nair with her partner for Dynamite on Wednesday, Thunder Rosa. The Infantry defeated Brody King and Buddy Matthews in the main event because the main event was actually a promo.
They won?
Yes, they beat House of Black because last week they had a promo with FTR. So undoubtedly they're going to be losing that. The reason why they won is because Mark Briscoe hit Buddy Matthews with a chair. So the Briscoe House of Black.
All right. At least they made it make sense.
Yes. And then Adam Copeland comes out for the main event promo of the evening. He came out with the mystery box and explained what it was. Long story short, he got a call from someone in his past and he said, you know, this isn't Barbie. This isn't Janice. And he pulls out a 2x4 with nails that he called Spike because he got a phone call from Mrs. Foley's baby boy to remind him who he was. So he's
Kang,
bringing that.
Kudos, look out.
I know, right? So he's bringing that to the I Quit match. Now, the one thing that I think really needs to be covered that was not covered here, if Mick didn't do it in the phone call, is whatever you do, don't let anyone have audio of you saying I quit, because that will cause you to lose an I Quit match.
Yeah.
But big Dynamite in Canada this week. So Eddie Kingston defending the Continental Championship, not the crown, not the whole crown, just the continental part. They're already splitting it up.
I thought the whole gimmick was they were going to be defended as one.
They're already splitting it up. And Eddie's defending the Ring of Honor world title against Mark Briscoe at the...
Man, stick to your own fucking rules.
No disagreement. No disagreement.
Fucking hell.
But Eddie defending it against Okada. Okada can't lose this early. So either this is going to go to a schmoz or Okada is going to be...
Well, that's why they're splitting it up,
champion. I guess. Yeah, that's probably it. Christian Cage defending the TNT title against Adam Copeland in an I Quit match.
Can this mercifully be the end of this feud?
I fucking hope so. Mercedes Moné is going to speak Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa against Toni Storm and Mariah May, which should be fine in ring. I'm just done.
Yeah.
With most of that. And then Chris Jericho versus Hook. And then, of course, Rampage right after with the women's street fight. So a pretty solid 3 hours of wrestling on the books.
Why do they always do a street fight the third weekend in March or the third or fourth week in March?
Gee, Chris, could it be because of the bloodletting that happens every few weeks?
Maybe. It attracts bears.
The Roughhouse Podcast is a weekly podcast fueled by coffee, pizza rolls, and the stench of dirty litter boxes. Follow Christoph and Marty on Twitter at RoughhouseSGW, at Facebook.com/TheRoughhousePodcast, and at Patreon.com/TheRoughhousePodcast for early access to episodes, exclusive podcasts, Roughhouse redos, and Roughhouse Divided movie trivia games. New episodes drop every single Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Subscribe, motherfuckers!
This is the Roughhouse podcast with Justin and Christoph.
That's it.
Fuck Christoph. He's terrible with his information. Okay. Hey, this is The Rock. Shut your mouth, jabronis, and listen up, because this is the Rough House Podcast with
Marty
and my least favorite man on the planet, Christoph.